I have fun seeing the years fizzle away in the game that humanity likes to play of appearances. I have fun seeing the years fizzle away, which man likes to play as appearances, as a game. Now, because I visualize wisdom and age, I create age. Because I create myself on earth to be human, and I consider age as a human experience. So long as I am human, I delight in age. Since I am divine, I am immortal. My goodness sakes, I think there's something incorrect there. Since I am divine, the is not supposed to be there, I am immortal. So long as I am human, I delight in age. Naturally, fun is a game played only by humans. The game of years is an interesting game that we play. All of you have had that game that you played, and you call it all sorts of things. You call it normal. You call it human. You call it the activity that you go through in your mind and in your body. You call it the thing. Well, here's what you call it. You call it time and space. And because you call it time and space, you give it time and space. And because you give it time and space, it has time and space. And because it has time and space, then it has age. Now, Gertrude knows all about this. She knows all about wines that age. When you leave wine in the bottle for a period of time, it ages. Now, people like to have from 1959 a certain bottle from a certain field, or from 1918 or 1819. You have a bottle from 1819, and I'd second guess that a little bit. But it is no different than a bottle from 1918. 1819 or 1918. If it is a bottle of wine that has cured, it is supposed to be aged, and it's supposed to be mellow, and it's supposed to be whatever wine does when it cures. Well, the same thing happens to human beings. But now, think of this. Dorothea, what happens to wine when it ages?
Becomes stronger?
Well, that's okay. It becomes better. People say it becomes better.
Yeah, they charge more.
They charge more. That's true. But you see, I don't know about the stronger or less strong. Some green wine, some fresh wine can be pretty strong. Although a lot of times it's pretty mellow. So when wine ages, they say it becomes more valuable and more wonderful. Well, this is what we want to say about humans. When humans age, they should become more valuable and more wonderful because they have more wisdom they're thought to have. But is this true? Do you have fun watching people age? Do you have fun watching people pretend that they're old and wise? What is the first thing that an older person says to you when you ask them for advice? Any of you know? The first thing that an older person says to you when you ask him for advice is, I don't have time. I don't have time to give you advice. Now, if you say to the older person, man, you are fantastic. You've lived a marvelous life. Remember the time when you were building your business and you were just starting out? What did you do? How did you start out your business? How did you get, you see, if you ask the right questions, then you get the right answers. But if you say, you are a wise old goat, why don't you tell me how you got to be so wise, or give me some of your wisdom, tell me what I should do, how I should act, and how I should live my life, you see, and then you're making trouble. Ellen has learned that. Ellen has asked this old goat here about many things, and he'd say, Herb, tell me about meditation. Herb, tell me about what it means to levitate. Herb, tell me about this, tell me. And you see, that's not of interest to people, older or younger people, older or younger people like to be brought into the flavor of whatever it is you're talking about. Now, if you just say a question like that, people are going to say, mind your own business, sir. I haven't time to talk to you. I mean, if you haven't thought through some interesting aspect of it and you want to bring it to my attention and then ask me my opinion on it, okay. But if you're just going to say, Herb, there are 9 billion people on Earth, and 9 billion people have 9 billion ways of thinking about meditation. Herb, what is the best way to think about meditation? Well, I'd say, just ask one of the 9 billion people. Because each one will come up with a different idea on what is the best way to meditate. And what is the best way to meditate? The best way to meditate is the way you meditate. The way you meditate. And you say, well, I don't know how to meditate. Well, yes, you do. You know how. And every time you start asking for another person's wisdom, every time you start asking for an aged person's wisdom on how to meditate, you will get confusion. And not because they want to give you confusion, but because they like to boggle your mind. Old people like to play with the minds of younger people. They like to play with their minds because they think that the younger people should be using their minds themselves and not asking questions. Why do older people think younger people should not be asking questions? You say, well, that's a quizzical thing. That's something to think about. Well, what is it? Where is it? Where is the answer for you to any question that you have? Within yourself. Okay, if you don't go within yourself, what kind of an answer are you going to get? An answer that doesn't fit for you. An answer that doesn't belong to you. An answer that means nothing to you. And until you think it up for yourself, until you go within and listen to your own inner self, you won't have a thing. Now you see, this is what we do with wisdom and age. We're always thinking of these wise people, how they might tell us how to do things, how they might tell us how to live our life and how to open our consciousness to the depths that we have. And we think they should be so wise because they're elder, because they have lived a long time, because they know a lot of things. Well, they don't. They don't. You see, truly, and I know you're going to have fun with this one, if a person is wise and old, you would never know it. Why would you never know he's wise and old, Sylvia? Because he looks young. Because he looks young and he acts young and he is young. Why would a person be old and act young and look young and be young? Because he's wise. He puts into practice the very things that he knows. And he doesn't spend his time telling other people about it. People who tell other people about things are merely trying to get their appreciation for how wise they are and stuff like that. And they're not wise. They're not wise at all. Wise people never do that. Wise people never go around telling other people what to do. Well, Herb, you're doing a lot of telling of other people what to do. Not really. I'm just telling you my life. I'm just telling you my experiences. I'm just telling you how I look at life. I don't say, you should do this. I say, I do this. This is how I look at life. This is how I see myself. Now, why don't I, if I'm so wise, why don't I appear before you as a very handsome, young, dynamic, virile, outstanding young man?
Yeah, you do.
Well, I do, you see? And if you have the vision to see that, you are wise. And if you don't have the vision to see it, then you see what you are.
Yeah.
And if you're an old crony and you see me as an old crony, then that's just because you're an old crony. But if you are a... Now, kids love me. That's just a happy situation that I have. Kids love me. And why do kids love me? Because I am the same age that they are. Well, and they love me for another point, too. They love me because I am interested in them. I am interested in what they're doing. I am interested in their life. I'm interested in what pleases them, what turns them on, what makes them happy. I'm sincerely interested. Not just to get their attention or to get their respect, but I'm sincerely interested. And because I'm sincerely interested, I get their respect and I get their love and I get their attention. Now, this is a surefire thing, 99% of the time, but occasionally it backfires. And it backfires only because I sometimes look at some children who are doing things that they shouldn't, and what do I do? Sylvia, what do? I put my nose where it doesn't belong. And what happens? It gets bit off. It gets bit off. And that's true. That's true. When we don't follow what we know is the truth, we get in trouble. Now, is it any of my business to tell any other human being on the face of the earth how to live their life? No. It is my business to live my life and tell myself, if I will, but live my life how I feel is the highest and best. And the minute I start telling anybody else how to live their life or what is right and what is wrong, I age. And I age terribly. You know, you age very, very fast, like Dorian Gray in his painting, you know. He became corrupt very, very quickly, but he didn't know it because it was the painting that was in his closet. But when he saw the painting, you know, it was disastrous to him. And you, so long as you can keep your eyes pure and live your life pure and live up to your highest and best, you will remain young. And the minute you start looking for creams to make you younger, you're in trouble. The cream is right here in your consciousness. The cream is right here in your thinking. And what is the cream? What do you say about which? What are the words that would be the cream, Gertrude?
I'm youthfulness.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm beautiful. My eyes are perfect. My nose now, is.
Thank you, Gertrude. Did you hear how nicely you say that, Gertrude?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. keep going, Gertrude. You're just fine. Come on now. My eyes are perfect. My
ears.
Come.
That was a
You're fantastic, aren't you?
That's from Spalding.
Yeah, repeating. Repeating is fine too, you know.
Yeah.
But why is it that that is a superior emollient, a superior thing to do and use than cream might be?
Because it's the truth.
It's the truth. And what is cream? A temporary thing.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
You don't put cream on you because you want to heal yourself of a wrinkle or you want to heal yourself of something. You put it on there because you want to make it fade away and look beautiful for a while. And you know you're going to have to, you buy a big bottle of cream because you know you're going to have to use it again and again and again. And this is a silly thing. Once you put a thought in your mind so perfectly, so beautifully, then you are eternally youthful. Now, Gertrude, you put the cream on your face, or wherever you put it, and you put the cream on yourself, and then for maybe 10 hours, maybe 24 hours, it does something. Okay, now, you put that cream on there to work on you for 24 hours, let's say. Okay, that's nice. All right, now, have you ever spoken your word for 24 hours and said, I am young, I am dynamic, I am beautiful, I am glorious, I am young, I am dynamic, I am beautiful, I am glorious. Wow, wow. If you could say something like that, 24 hours, 24 hours, you know what would happen, Gertrude? You would never buy another bottle of cream. You would never want another bottle of cream because it couldn't do what your affirmation for yourself is doing. You are making yourself ageless by recognizing that you are beautiful. You are, well, are you beautiful?
Yes.
Are you useful? Yes. Are you glorious? Yes. Are you the most desired hunk of woman that ever existed?
Yes.
They usually say hunk of man, but are you the most desired femme fatale that ever existed? Yes. Yes. But you see, this is only what you can do for yourself. I cannot do that for you. I can tell you these are techniques that others have used and they work beautifully, but you have to do it. Now, will this make you ageless? Totally. Will this be something that you will practice? Yep. When?
Now.
All right. It's done.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yep.
We're ageless. So we'll cut this seminar short at this point. It's done. All right? But you see, you're ageless. You're ageless when you have it in your mind. You're not ageless when you have it in your body. Your body reflects what your mind thinks about. And Gertrude says, well, I'm over 18, so, you know, I'm beginning to sag here and there, and I'm beginning to this here and there. No way.
I know that I actually don't, no need to scream.
That's right. And I'm not really playing a game against your cream. I'm just using what happens to be made available to me at the moment.
Yes, yes.
But the thing is, you don't need the outer for what you should be doing in the inner. And if we work on the inner, and we purify ourselves on the inner, if we radiate outwardly what we are on the... You know, Gertrude, looking at you, if you were to stand on the scale, you would be the ideal weight for your height. And looking at you, Gertrude, if you were to go to the dressmaker and she were to run her tape around you here, there, and everywhere, you would be the ideal form for the ideal woman. And if you would go to the shoemaker and have him check your feet, you would have the ideal feet of the ideal woman with the ideal form. Now, can you handle that?
I accept.
Okay, you accept. That's the truth about you. Now, this is the picture you want in your consciousness constantly. Now, Gertrude, give me $1,500, and I'm going to go down and buy a slide projector, and I'm going to plug that slide projector in you. And so that slide projector is going to put forth the picture of what's going on inside of you. Now, we can look at your body and see the same thing, but so we plug in the slide projector, and here is a femme fatale. Here is that glorious woman, that youthful, dynamic, I don't know which one you prefer, Terpsichore. She's the goddess of dance, or Venus de Milo. She's armless, but otherwise she's, and headless. Poor girl. She's had her problems. But who are you? You are the ideal Gertrude. Now, what does the name Gertrude mean? The name Gertrude means the ideal woman. You hear me?
Yes.
It means nothing else but the ideal woman. The ideal woman. Gertrude, the ideal woman. Ellen, what does Ellen mean?
The ideal woman.
What does Dorothea mean?
Gift of God.
What?
Gift of God.
Thank you very much. I mean, it's nice when they play games with me, don't they? Lydia, what does your name mean?
The ideal woman.
And Sylvia, what does your name mean?
The ideal woman.
And Ingeborg, what does your name mean?
The ideal woman.
Wonderful. And Dorothea, what does your name mean? Now, I am saying this not because you looked up your name in some book of words that tells what your name means, because who said it? Who said it in the first place that your name was that, and they published it in that book? You know, the people who put out these books, they're very creative. If they have a name and they don't have a definition for it, they put one there. You know, And who's going to complain as long as it's nice, you know? Now, the ideal woman. You are three words that describe you as the most succulent, the most delicious, the most delightful, the most gourmet type of woman on the face of the earth. The woman who recognizes and appreciates beauty. A gourmet diner is one who recognizes good food. A gourmet cook is one who cooks with great class and care. Not like somebody else, but with great class and care. And a gourmet woman is a woman who reflects the absolute finest qualities of womanhood. Now, do you know what the finest qualities of womanhood are? And your answer has to be yes. Look at me. Right?
Right.
Look at me. I am the finest qualities of woman. And I am useful woman. Dynamic woman. No, I'm not useful.
I'm young, young.
No, I'm not young.
I'm ageless.
Ageless. That's the word. I'm ageless. You see, the moment you say you're young or youthful or something like that, then you put yourself in a category. But when you're ageless, what is the wine? The wine that has been, aged?
Matured.
Well, what is the wine that is matured? It is what? The ageless wine. It is the wine with the most exquisite bouquet. And you are the woman with the most exquisite bouquet.
Wow.
You are, yes, you are the woman who is the what did we say before?
Ideal woman.
Yes, but as a cook?
A gourmet.
You are the gourmet woman. You are the woman who knows exactly the right type of clothing to wear at the right time. You understand?
Right.
You know exactly how to blend the colors to go along with the complement of your skin and your body tone. And when you go out to a sporting event, you look glorious. Not out of place, but glorious. And when you go to a cocktail party, shrimp cocktails, you know. When you go to a cocktail party, what do you look like?
Glorious.
You look like Princess Di, if you will. I mean, I don't want to keep shoving her at you all the time, but she was a good illustration. She both was royalty and a good-looking woman, and she had good taste, and she had a lot of other qualities about her. They were just utterly fantastic. And I think that's a good comparison. You don't want to say Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth is a dowdy old woman, but she is also the queen, and she carries herself as a queen. And if you say the queen, you look at her and you don't see a dowdy old woman. You see a woman of majesty.
Yeah.
You see, in fact, if you are ageless yourself, what do you see her?
Ageless.
You look at her and you see a glorious ageless being. And if you dare to judge her by human virtues or human values or human vision, you're in trouble. You have just aged yourself on the human scale of things, and you're soon ready to kick off. You know? That's a silly thing, isn't it? Really silly thing. Remember just a short time ago, Princess Di's two boys were just youngsters, and just gentle, quiet, lovely youngsters that did the right thing, apparently. That's all we heard about from the palace, you know. They did the right thing. And then all of a sudden, like that, they are young men. And now they're not only young men, they are very excellent young men. And they're very charming young men. And they're very... Now, they didn't get that for nothing. They were trained in the court by that. They had to go to school, and they had to go to school with the Queen's direction. They had to be trained as marksmen. They had to be trained as horsemen. They had to be trained as pilots. They had to be trained as golfers, as riding to the fox and hounds. They had to be trained in the language. They had to be trained in French. I mean, every Englishman has to know French. They had to know French, and they had to know all sorts of other wonderful things. They had to know how to dance. And they had to know how. Now this is something very something. This is something very, very special. They had to be taught, which they already knew quite a bit about, but they had to be taught to respect women. But first, they had to be taught to respect themselves. Now, they got out of line a little bit for a while there, but they're back in the saddle again. They got out of line where they didn't respect themselves. They thought they should be one of the commoners. They should be able to associate with the commoners and not have it rub off. But it does. It rubs off. You're known by the people you associate with, not because you're known by them, but because it rubs off. And you like the things they do and the simple way they do it, which is not the royal way. It is not the kingly, queenly, courtly way. And not that the kingly, queenly, courtly way is the right way, but it is the way for a prince to be trained, or for a princess to be trained. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are the son or the daughter of some famous person, that famous person is going to make sure you get all of the quality bringing up that you can possibly have. They'll make sure you have the best teachers, the best trainers, and they will make sure that. This is the very important thing. They will make sure you have no interest in being a common person. You see, a person who wants to be a common person has no aspiration for being the divine person. And there's nothing wrong with the common person, except that the common person does not aspire to be a divine person. Do you understand that? And you cannot say that they're bad or evil because they're common, but they have no desire for that divine direction. Now, where are you on this plateau of existence? Are you on the plateau of existence of your divinity? Are you on the plateau of existence of your recognition that you are divine? On the plateau of existence that says you are a woman? And that you are a fabulous woman, and that you are wonderful. What was the three-word phrase we had before?
The ideal woman.
The ideal woman. My goodness, could we say it any more gloriously, beautifully, powerfully than that? The ideal woman. And who, Lydia, who does the ideal woman associate with? Besides other ideal women, who does the ideal woman associate with? The ideal man. She knows nothing but the ideal man. And everywhere she looks, she sees beautiful men, fabulous men, and then the ideal man. When she's ready for the ideal man will be in front of her. He might have been there all along. But when she's ready for that ideal man, when she's ready for that man in her life, if she is ready or ever wants an ideal man in her life, you don't have to have an ideal partner. But when you want it, then what happens?
You have it.
It is there.
Yeah.
It is there. Not because you created it, but because you are it. When you are ready for the teacher is there. When you are ready for the lesson, the lesson is there. When you are ready to be the ideal woman, then everyone will see you as the ideal woman, and you will be the ageless ideal woman, which is a tremendous thing, you know. The ageless ideal woman, the ageless ideal man. Can you imagine such a thing? Now, Lydia's going to go home to her husband, Vernon, and she's going to say, Bernie, are you the ageless ideal man? And he'll say, what have you been drinking? You know, and she'll say, oh, just the fact that I am the ideal woman, and I associate with the ideal man only. He said, well, I'd better be that ideal man, I tell you. And she'll say, well, sweetheart, I mentioned this to you because you are. And then she says, now would you like to know what the ideal man is, sweetheart? And he says, you know, you look at me and you know who it is, don't you? You don't have to tell me, and you don't have to tell anybody else. You know. Because if you're the ideal woman, you could not have anything less than the ideal man in your life. And you could not have anything less than the ideal kids in your life. And they're super and they're fantastic. Look at Ellen. She is the ideal woman. You are, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. Now, did you marry the ideal man?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
The one we have the photograph of in the minister's manual?
Yeah.
And you were the ideal woman?
Yes.
Young spring chicken, indeed. Huh? Okay, now, did you have the ideal children?
Yes.
You're so...
I have the ideal children.
But what's that?
I have the ideal children.
Yes, but don't be so hesitant in saying it and reluctant in speaking out so that you can be heard. Now,
right.
You have the ideal children.
Right.
How can you tell what an ideal child is like when you are an ideal adult?
It's reflecting.
So your ideal children are a reflection of your ideal adult self. That means that they're adults, huh?
I have not said adult. This is what you said. I said that. I'm the ideal woman.
But don't tell me I have not said something to you.
No.
What you do is you say what you say.
Yeah.
Now, what do you say?
I'm the ideal woman, period.
And you have?
Ideal children and ideal grandchildren.
Oh, we're going to get them in there too. I figured that's good. Ideal children and ideal grandchildren. Now, how many ideal grandchildren do you have?
Six.
And all of them are ideal?
Yes.
With all of their problems, they're ideal?
All their charm and their beauty and their genius.
Oh, I see. She's going to be like that about it. Mm-hmm. She's going to see them as a perfect reflection of herself. How about that? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And they have to live up to that.
They don't live up. That's their nature.
Oh, that's their nature. Then they'll get old and then they'll get past that, huh?
They are eternally young.
They are ageless. Forget the eternally young business. We're getting away from that. They're ageless. That's why we have this whole seminar tuned to the word agelessness. Because with the word agelessness, there is no age on which to be young in or old in. And you see, when we can disband of young and old, then we disband of growing up. We disband of years. Now, Ellen, it is now 1900, and you are in Paris. And how old are you?
Ageless.
You're ageless. Okay. Now, the year is 1800, and you're in Germany. You're ageless. All right, now, the year is 1500, and you're in Rome, and you are the Roman Empire.
I am ageless.
And you're ageless. And now it's the year just before the turn of the age, and you're Jesus. How old are you?
Ageless.
Is that why you look so young?
That's why I'm looking so young.
Is that why you look so young?
That's why I'm ageless.
Oh, thank you. You picked it up there. Good. Okay. That's why you are ageless. We want to build that as a new word in our vocabulary, ageless. Not the word young, not the word youthful, not the word vital and vibrant, and those things are okay, but they oftentimes make you think of young. But we want to think of ageless as vibrant and vital and dynamic and alert and aware and just wonderful. And so we want to get away from that word of time. Ageless has what time?
No time.
No time, that's right. It has absolutely no time. So, now, what year is it now?
Ageless.
And yes, Ellen, that's the right word. The year now is ageless. Is there a tomorrow?
No.
Is there a yesterday?
No.
Is there a present tense?
No.
What is it?
The is, the now. Not even the now.
I want you to struggle with it. Now, what year is it? What time is it? What point is it? If it's not the past, it's not the future, it's not the present, what is it?
It's a point.
You might say now, but now is time.
That's why I didn't use now.
Can you see how we can get in trouble with all these phrases, with all these words and all these concepts? Because when we are saying them, we are saying a time. And that's really something. Now, because I visualize wisdom and age, I create age. Because I visualize wisdom and age, I create age. Why do I create wisdom and age? When do you know what is the right thing to do, Dorothea? I don't. You don't know what is the right thing to do at any time. What is it that you do, Dorothea?
Be myself.
You do the right thing at the right time, not that you know it. Mm-hmm. You see, you don't know it. Once you know it, then you are putting a point in time on the knowing. But when you are it, I guess that's even a better word, you are it, then that is the essence of allness. Why would we do it that way, Ingeborg?
It's the only way to do it.
that's a good way to say it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Age, anytime we get around saying something about age, what we're doing is we're putting values on it. And we don't want to put any values on age. Does wisdom come with age, or age come with wisdom?
No.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know a lot of very, I hope you don't, people who are old who do not have much wisdom. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say 100% of the old people do not have wisdom. How about that? Some people might take obeisance at that, or they take offense at that. Why would they take offense at that?
Because they're old.
No.
Because wisdom comes from listening within.
Wisdom is combined with anxiousness.
If they have wisdom because they're aged, and if they are aged, then they
have no wisdom.
They don't have wisdom. Yeah. You see, this is something that we want to sort of get our thinking straightened out on. We think with age is wisdom. Now, how old, and I don't have any reference on this, but how old was Solomon when he was being his wise king self?
Ageless.
How old was Solomon when he was talking to the two mothers? Ageless. How old was Solomon as he was in his temple doing his thing, enjoying living that luxurious life that pleased him? Ageless. Did armies come and besiege him? No. Did nations come and try to overthrow him? No. Did anyone try to do anything against Solomon? Now you say, well, there are incidents in the Bible, but did anyone come and try to do anything? No. Some foolish people may have tried it, but they did it only because they had age. And Solomon, in his agelessness, was untouchable. And you, like Daniel in the lion's den, he was untouchable. And like Moses. Moses went through all of these different adventures in his life, and he was untouched. And only at the end was he touched. And why was he touched? Because he was getting tired of leading the people of Israel, and he thought, okay, the first community we come to, I'm going to tell them to take it and make it theirs. That's the land of milk and honey. Now, the land of milk and honey could have been any place, but he lied to the people. He didn't take them to a place of peace, a place of a blessing, which he knew how to do, but he just got tired. He got to be a tired old man because people expected him to be wise. And you see, when he was playing his game, he was very astute. When he was with the Pharaoh, he was very alert and capable. When he was leading the people through the 40 years and 40 of the desert, he was very astute. But toward the end, he got tired. And he says, I am tired of this all. I am tired. And because he said that, he killed himself. He didn't want to live anymore. Could he have lived many, many, many hundreds of years more, or thousands? Yes. Had biblical characters lived ancient lives and long lives? Yes. Is it really true? Or is this just something that the writer has thought would be a charming thing to put in the story? Now, we don't know, do we? But let's just presume that it's true. Let's just say that these people did live the Methuselah lives, hundreds and hundreds of years. Let's just say they did that. Now, how could they do that? What do we know about Methuselah? What do we know about Noah? What do we know about these ancient people? What we know about them is they did nothing but to follow whatever the guidance was within them. And the guidance that was within Noah was to gather all creatures from the far corners of the earth, which is amazing how he did it, you know, and bring them all together on his little tiny boat, which was not a big boat, and keep them for 40 days and 40 nights up in the water. 40 days and 40 nights is a common phrase to use, you know, and it has spiritual significance to it. But keep them alive. Now, it's bad enough taking the animals, too, of everything from all over, but then to have whatever their diet was, you know, whatever foods that was necessary to keep them alive, and also to have enough fresh water for them. Fantastic, you know. Now, how can you do that? How can you do that? Well, that's because they put the cause in motion to accomplish that. They put the cause in motion that it is done. Now, Bertram, how do you change from being a woman to being an ideal woman?
I have nothing to change. I am.
That's even better. You never changed. You always were. You always were the ideal woman. Now, has everyone always seen you as the ideal woman?
Yes.
My goodness. You're going to make it tough for me. But that's good. That's good. Stand for this principle, all of you. Stand for this principle of knowing just who and what you are and what's going on in your world, because that's what you are. The ideal woman. Now, is Rex the ideal dog here?
Yes.
Is Love and Button two more ideal dogs?
Yes.
What makes them ideal?
Their mother and father.
That's right. Sylvia says, my vision of them. In other words, they could be anything depending upon who wants to create them. If someone wants to create them as barking little dogs that are a pain in the butt, going out and killing rabbits and dragging them around and burying them and then killing this rat and snake and stuff like that, and if someone wants to create them doing that, then that's what that someone is. And if someone wants to create them as the ideal dog, because you create them as the ideal dog, not because that's what they are or are not, but you create them as the ideal dog because there's no other choice. Now, what are the princes' names in London?
William and Harry.
Harry and William. All right, now, Harry and William, they were created by a common woman.
By the ideal woman.
By the ideal woman. Well, now, why does Sylvia say the ideal woman when she had been a commoner? She had been it. But she created herself. She spoke to herself, she called herself the ideal woman. And what was the father? The prince. We can call him an ideal man too, and he will appreciate that. Okay? And we will appreciate it too. If you, in your heart, mind, soul, thought, think of Prince Charles as less than the ideal prince, you got a problem. Okay, now the boys, Harry and
William.
Harry and William, Hank and Bill, you know, Harry and William. Could Harry and William ever be Hank and Bill?
No.
Impossible. They are the ideal princes of the entire universe. The ideal princes. Now, which one will take the throne? It doesn't matter. But they are the ideal princes. And what they will bring to the throne when they do bring it will be ideal qualities. They will bring integrity. They will bring your original purity and integrity. They'll bring that original purity and integrity because they are the ideal. You follow me? Now, does it make any difference to you and me whether they do anything or don't do anything? Yes. Because whatever we have in our consciousness, that is our aging factor. And if our aging factor is that everything is the ideal, then it's done. It's perfect. It's ideal. It does not grow. It does not mature. Now, let's ask ourselves a question about that. Is there maturity in agelessness?
No.
No maturity in agelessness. Why is there no maturity in agelessness?
Is there maturity, then there is a time frame in your...
Maturity bespeaks time. Now, do you bespeak time?
No.
Okay. What do you say?
I'm ageless.
What do you say?
I am the ideal.
That's good.
I'm the ideal woman.
What do you say? Ellen, just say what you say.
I'm the ideal woman. I'm ageless.
All right. Ellen, what do you say?
I'm the ideal woman. I'm ageless.
Ellen, what do you say?
I'm the ideal woman. I'm ageless.
Ellen, what do you say?
I'm the ideal woman. I'm ageless.
Gertrude, what do you say?
I am the ideal woman. I am ageless.
And Lydia?
I am the ideal woman. I am ageless.
And Sylvia?
I'm ageless, and I'm the ideal woman.
And what do you say, Gertrude?
I'm Dodie.
I'm saying Gertrude, but I'm looking at Dodie.
Yeah.
I'm saying, what do you say, Gertrude?
I am ageless. I am the.
Anytime anybody mentions your name, respond to it.
Yeah.
Even if I look at Dodie.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Ingeborg, what do you say?
I am the ideal woman. I am ageless.
You are what?
Ageless.
You are. I say both. Say the whole thing.
I am the ideal woman.
Ah, so good. And I'm ageless. Good, good. And Dorothea Zimmerman, Dorothea Ruth Zimmerman, DRZ, what do you say about thou and me?
I am the ideal woman. I am ageless.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, this is the truth about each one of you. When are you going to start expressing it outwardly?
Now!
No.
No?
When are you going to start expressing it outwardly?
Done.
When are you going to start expressing it outwardly?
Already. It's done. Now.
Ellen, don't let me challenge you. Don't let me threaten you, make you feel insecure in saying something. Say it. It's done. Now. I am it. It is my reality. It is my truth about me, you know. Say anything you want, but be ready and don't worry about repeating it. Done, 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 done. Lydia stands there. Done, 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 done. I'm cooked. Right, Lydia? I'm cooked. But this is beautiful. Say it of yourself. Say it with all your heart and all your soul and being. I am the ideal woman. Now, men will be listening to this too, I'm sure. So you say, I am the ideal man. Right, guys? You bet. And I am ageless. Yes, that's right. That's right. You say, I am ageless. I am the ideal man and I am ageless. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
And now just change your voices to men's voices and say, I am the ideal man and I'm ageless. Thank you, gentlemen. I am the ideal man and I am ageless. Isn't that wonderful?
I am the ideal man and I'm ageless.
Well, how about that, Urban? Beautiful. This is what we want to do. Whether we are man or whether we are woman, we are the ideal expression of truth and love and right action and peace and wholeness and goodness. We are the allness, the isness, the oneness of the universe. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's agelessness. That's agelessness. And that is what you want to do. And naturally, fun is a game played only by humans. Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you divine?
Yes.
Do you ever have fun?
Yes.
What do you have fun doing as a divine being?
Being divine
is fun.
I want you to remember that for all of your life. I want you to remember that for all of your life. No, no response?
No, it's done now.
I am ageless.
Right.
And I am ageless, and I am funful agelessly.
Right.
Fun-filled agelessly. I am being myself and having fun. And myself is I am
ageless.
I am
the ideal woman.
I am the ideal man. I am ageless and I'm having fun being myself, being the ideal woman, being the ideal man. Ageless, 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 ageless. Now, go to your coffee break with ageless, ageless, ageless in your heart, your soul, your being, and your allness. I keep coming up to 52 minutes all the time, but that's okay. Ageless, ageless, ageless. I am the ideal woman. I am the ideal man.